When God does a miracle, why does he do it? Often in part out of compassion, as when he healed the sick, but also to make a statement. Read the book of Ezekiel sometime. I challenge you to do this. And highlight every time he says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord." Throughout the book, he says, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then you will know that I am the Lord." So on Good Friday, when God miraculously darkened the sky for 3 hours, as Jesus hung on the cross, as Larry read, what was the Father trying to tell fallen man? Let me suggest 4 things that perhaps he was trying to tell us via the darkness. So one, in the Bible, darkness is often associated with our sin and his judgment. Sinners in Colossians 1:13 are said to belong to the domain of darkness. And in Psalm 82:5, it says they walk about in darkness. When God described the day of judgment to come, that final day of judgment, he called it in Amos 5:20, a terrible day, a horrible day, a day of darkness. So when God darkened the earth as Jesus hung on the cross, was he saying to fallen man, "Sin stinks, and I hate it"? Let that sink in for a moment. Because in our culture we have been so conditioned to believe that sin is of no consequence, many people think that God has taken a chill pill as far as sin is concerned. I mean, we're tolerant. God's tolerant too, right? But the fact is, sin does stink, and God does hate it. Indeed, every time we choose to go our own way, we are saying, consciously or unconsciously, quietly or defiantly, we are saying to God, to the one who created us, our maker, to the one who owns us, we are saying to him, "I am the boss, not you." Doesn't such an attitude stink? And just how sinful is fallen man? Fallen man crucified his maker, his God, his Savior. When the darkness covered the land for 3 hours, it's almost as if God, for the moment, couldn't stand to look at the whole lot of us. So let me ask you, when was the last time you felt shame? Not a word we're supposed to use nowadays in our society. But when was the last time you felt shame for our mankind's sin? Or shame for your sinfulness? Now, praise God, all of our sins are forgiven. All of them, praise God. But maybe sometimes we rush too quickly past guilt and shame to forgiveness. Maybe every once in a while, as on Good Friday, we ought to feel ashamed of our sin for an hour or two. Maybe every once in a while, like the crowd when they left the cross, as Larry read, maybe every once in a while we ought to beat our breast because Jesus was hung on the cross for our sin. Two, darkness in the Bible is often associated with anguish and grief as well. Job, after he was afflicted by Satan, grieved in silence for 7 days and 7 nights with his 3 friends, and then he lamented the day he was born. He said in Job chapter 3, 5, "Let gloom and deep darkness claim that day." And then in the parable of the talents, the unworthy servant who had utterly failed his master, Matthew 25:30, was cast into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Same way in Jude 1:13, those who lead the church and teach heresy, causing others to stray from the Lord, it said that the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever for them. So when God darkened the earth as Jesus hung on the cross, was he crying out like Job in his anguish to fallen man and saying, my heart, it's breaking? Again, think about it. We don't want to make God too much like us. We are like him, but he's not always like us. But with that said, don't you suppose the Father's heart broke when they nailed his son, his beloved son, his dear son, to the cross? When darkness covered the land as Jesus hung on the cross, was it the Father's grief that was also on display? I can only imagine what I would feel if we Christians were persecuted of the sudden here in our country, and I had to watch one of my children as they were crucified. I can't think of anything that would be much harder to endure than that. But the Father didn't just watch his son suffer and die, he gave him over to suffer and die. In fact, God the Father hung God the Son on the cross. How does any father handle such grief? How the Father must have loved you and me to do that. Three, the darkness that covered the land as Jesus hung on the cross was, as you know, a miraculous darkness, both in its duration and its extent. So first, its duration. People have often tried to explain the darkness away as an eclipse, and if God wanted to use an eclipse, I have no problem with that. But solar eclipses don't last for 3 hours. Secondly, its extent. Years later, a couple centuries later, Tertullian, one of the church fathers, as he defended his faith to the Romans of his day, remarked how in their own annals, this darkness was recorded. So it had been seen even in Rome. And then another church father responded about how the Egyptians also had recorded the same darkness in their records. So when God darkened the whole earth as Jesus hung on the cross, was he saying to fallen man, this Jesus whom you crucified, he is my son? The centurion got it. In our text that Larry read, he said in verse 47, certainly this man was innocent. And then according to Matthew 27:54, he said, truly this was the Son of God. As Jesus hung on the darkness, God covered the whole land. As Jesus hung on the cross, God covered the whole land with darkness, I think, to accentuate the importance of the one who hung on the cross. He was telling the whole world, this is no ordinary man. And he wasn't, was he? No one took his life. He laid it down. What kind of man takes all of the sin of the whole world upon himself and allows himself to be ridiculed, beaten, tortured, though he was completely innocent and willing to submit to death on the cross? What kind of man does that? The same man who calmed the storms and healed the sick, had legions of angels at his disposal, raised Lazarus from the dead. What kind of man with all that power and authority submits to torture and death? The same man who was on the cross was the one who created the heavens and the earth. Jesus was a man unlike any other man, wasn't he? Finally, darkness in the Bible also is associated with the inscrutable nature of God. Psalm 18:11, he made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Psalm 97:2, clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And then when God descended upon Mount Sinai, he did so in a thick cloud, Exodus 19:16. There's so much we know about God from the scriptures. And then yet there's so much that we do not know. And that's probably greater than the amount we do know. Isaiah 55:8-9 says the Lord, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." From the pages of Scripture, we know what God is like as far as his nature. We know he's loving, just, good, true. We know he's all-knowing, all-powerful, and so on. But we do not know, we cannot know, what it was like to exist from eternity past. How do you even imagine that? I don't know. We look at what he has created and we surmise that God is the consummate artist who cares about the tiniest of details. But we do not know, we cannot know, what it was like to create the heavens and the earth. Do you get the picture? When Jesus hung on the cross, the Jewish leaders in their mind had gotten rid of the blasphemer for good. As far as Pilate was concerned, he had crucified an innocent man who needed to be crucified to keep peace between the Jews and the Romans. The disciples were just terribly confused by the whole incident. Poor Mary must have had her heart broken as she watched her son die. But no one understood God's, in his inscrutable ways, no one understood what was truly going down. As Jesus hung on the cross, God was redeeming man. This, according to Romans 16:25, was the mystery to which Paul referred when he said, "It was kept secret for ages past and finally disclosed at last after the cross and the grave." And until Jesus did suffer and die, who in their right mind, honestly, who in their right mind would have ever guessed that God would do that for us? No one. And even me, when I slow down and meditate on who God is, who I am, and what Jesus did for me, I can't believe it. The creator of the universe died for me. How inscrutable are the ways of God? Amen. When darkness covered the land, God was saying to fallen man, "You cannot see it now, but my son is redeeming the world." When Jesus hung on the cross, darkness covered the land for 3 hours, and in the process, God spoke volumes to fallen man. He said, "Sin stinks, and I hate it." He said, "I hung my son, my beloved son, on the cross, and my heart is breaking." He said, "The one you are crucifying is no ordinary man. He is the Son of God." And he said what we all love to hear. He said, "You can now be redeemed and born again." Every Good Friday, I am overwhelmed with so many different emotions. I am ashamed of my sin. I grieve with the Father who crucified his beloved Son. I am amazed at who Jesus is and what he did for me. And my soul rejoices once again in my salvation. And a part of me wants to crawl into a hidden corner and wrap its thick darkness around me like a blanket and just be with my Lord, my God, and my Savior.